Okay. I get sent to me by email something called the wired word. And what it is, it basically keeps up with current events, what's going on in the news, and it gives it sort of a biblical perspective on everything that's going on around the world. And I got this one. It was I thought it was interesting. Reaction to Michael Jackson's death. Overblown worship-like was the title of it. And I want to read you just some quotes here from this publication that I get. It said, for nearly 2 weeks, news media in the United States has had a one and only one major focus, the death of entertainer Michael Jackson, and details from his life, final hours, and aftermath. How many of you were aware of that? I mean, it was something that you couldn't get away from if you watched any television at all. Time magazine commented on Tuesday memorial service for Jackson, mentioned the excess in the media, saying the Staples Center memorial ended up being more tasteful, moving, and apt than the week and a half of media circus that led up to it. I mean, it was like a mad craze going on. And I don't know, I guess we live in a bubble in the United States. And I know the stars live in their own little world where, you know, everybody knows me. And I can't help but wonder if maybe some farmer out in maybe Africa somewhere, plowing his field, trying to keep his family alive. You know, he weighs about 95 pounds because he's hungry. Just last week, his daughter died of AIDS. If his question to us might would be, who in the heck is Michael Jackson? what does moonwalking and starvation have in common? Well, nothing, absolutely nothing. I mean, in other words, not everybody knows about the stars. Not everybody knows the star names, but in the United States, you know, we keep up with all that stuff. The St. Petersburg Times headline, one story this week, said Michael Jackson's media coverage goes totally bizarre, towards bizarre excess, and asked in the article lead sentence, what is it about Michael Jackson that makes the media world lose its collective minds? Now, the media cannot be completely blamed. On the day of Jackson's death, CNN, for example, experienced a 900% viewership increase. 900% viewership increase. When advertisers see that kind of response, it is understandable, why they schedule hour-long specials for these events. When they see that kind of, you know, results. So it's what the people want when you think about it. You can't really blame the media. It's what people out there are eating up. The Wired Word advisory team watched the memorial service on television, and they came up with some conclusions here. 4 points I want to go through. One, they said after watching it, they said calling him the king of pop, he was referred to as an idol buried in a 14 gold casket. Another thing she noticed was how the pastor handled Christian prayer and in a pluralistic venue. In other words, the minister said, let those who agree say amen. You know, if you agree, you can say amen. If you don't agree, that's okay. You know, it's sort of like, you know, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. But, you know, the third thing was the absence of scripture in the service. No scripture references. And the fourth thing said that the visuals in the performance of We Are the World, which used religious symbols from various world religions, as if they were all the same on the same level. What this kind of global epic experience conveys to watchers about Christianity and Christ as but one choice among many equally valid choices, the all roads lead to heaven deception. And you have to understand that people that watch this are impacted by what they see. You know, they actually can believe, you know, what they see, that this is the way it is. Evidently, everyone, you know, there's many different ways to get into the kingdom of God. Someone, I think it was Ansel, mentioned that she saw where someone said that he was now, seated at the right hand of God. You have to wonder where Christ is now. But and another statement was, Lord, why did the Lord take Michael home? You hear that all the time, by the way. Why did he take Michael home? Well, he ended up where he was at because of a drug overdose, basically. That's why he passed away. Now, idol worship is what I want to talk about today, or hero worship. Do you have any idols in your life? Something from I think Sandy will recognize this. Let me read you this. Your idol can be the similitude of any figure, a sports hero, a movie star. It can be, you know, your idol hunting, fishing, your Corvette. That used to be my idol. A hobby, or even your spouse. The likeness of anything that receives more adoration from you than the Creator God is your idol. Your idol is whatever you hold most dear. When you go to great effort to get tickets to that all-important football game and you won't go to the trouble to get ready for church, you have an idol in your life that occupies a more prominent position than the one who promised to give you eternal life. That was from the webpage, Sandy. You wrote that on the second commandment.
I noticed it sounded rather familiar. Yeah.
Now, I want to look at, remember the story of Daniel, where they had a decree that you had to, I think it was for 30 days, you couldn't make your petition to God. You had to look to the king. And it was sort of like the worship of a king. In other words, it was something that was written into law. Actually, the story is found in Daniel 6 and verse 7. If you'd like to turn there, we can look at the story. Daniel 6 and verse 7. Daniel 6 and verse 7 says, all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the lion's den. The king wanted to be worshipped as an idol. Now, notice verse 10. This is amazing. I wish we had more men like this. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, in other words, he waited until the thing was actually put into law. He went into his house, and his window being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In other words, he said, I don't care what kind of law is passed. I'm going to worship God and worship him only. The point is that Daniel refused to direct worship that should be given only to God, to a human being. He absolutely refused to direct worship that should be given only to God, to a human being. He wasn't going to go along, even though it was written in their law to worship, you know, to do this. He was quite a man. There's another little story in Acts 10 and verse 25. Acts 10 and verse 25. Just a little breaking into the middle of the story here. Acts 10 and verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. Now, here's the question. When does hero worship cross the line so that it begins to be misdirected worship that belongs only to God? When does hero worship cross the line so that it begins to be misdirected worship that belongs only to God? You ever been to a concert, you know, a big, huge concert? I've often wondered why that kind of adoration could not be directed toward God. I mean, if you look at the people, if you look at their faces, if you look at how they respond to the singers or whatever, you know, I guess singing a song writing a song is a good thing, but consider what God has done. God goes way beyond writing songs. I mean, He's done it all. He's created everything. He's you know, and yet He doesn't get that kind of worship. God does not. But I've often wondered at a concert why people couldn't get that excited about God. And even questioning it in my own life, why that's not true. Another question, is it easy to cut worship of ourselves short when somebody does something obvious, like maybe bow down to us, although I don't think we have that happen to us, but you ever had someone put too much praise upon you and you realize it wasn't really real, you know, they sort of praised you too much? And do we, you know, more subtle forms of worship of ourselves, do we let it go unchallenged? You know, I was thinking about sometimes people can admire you just because of appearance, what you look like, physical appearance. Often in dating, a boy and a girl can get together and they almost idolize one another. And they know absolutely nothing about each other. They just know, they're just sort of mesmerized by each other, simply by physical appearance. And yet they know absolutely nothing about each other. What does a show with a name like, think about this, American Idol. What does that say about our nation? You know, it says, you know, if you become a celebrity, you will be idolized. Sort of what it says, is it not? People will break the first and second commandment if you become an idol. Now, I want to look at to eliminate idol worship and hero worship from our lives. How do we do this? I think the number one thing is to find out the truth about that person. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free from any type of idol worship of another human being. One of the things that I've tried to do with people that I admire and like, whether it be actors or song writers or anything, I try to get a documentary on their lives. I got one. I used to, you know, the Beach Boys music. I like that very much. And yet when I bought a documentary on the band, I found out, man, these people, while there was a lot of talent there, Brian Wilson, I mean, incredible talent to write songs and music, but they were crazy. I mean, absolutely. They were out there. I mean, they were into things that, and their lifestyles and their divorce and the breakup and the family and the children born out of wedlock, you begin to look at the character. And it just strips away the concept of idol worship. This is why I say, find out the truth about that person. And that's the way you eliminate, it takes all the steam out of being so mesmerized by other people. As a teenager, I thought I really liked Rod Stewart, his music. And someone had told me that he was sort of, you know, swung both ways or something, maybe a homosexual or something like that. And back then, I would have defended him. I would say, oh, no, he's cool. He was an idol. Idol worship will blind your eyes to the true person. You'll be blind. You will refuse to see truth if you hold an idol. What was amazing about that little story is I had an album. And back then, this is when records came in, you know. They'll still make those things. I think they ought to make a car where you can put that whole, shove that whole thing, you know, like a CD. Because I like the pictures, you know. Well, it had a picture of Rod Stewart, and he was doing something very disgusting. It was a birthday, I think, and I looked at that picture, and I thought, that's not right. He must be flaky. He must be, you know, he must swing both, you know. But I refused to see that because he was an idol. I didn't want to believe it. And that's the danger. O.J. Simpson. You know, a lot of people, that idol was stripped away, although when they found out that he killed his wife. But, you know, there were people, we had a contractor, and because he was an idol to this contractor, said, and I mean, he was not a dumb man, he was not ignorant, he said, O.J. was set up. You know, the blood in her car, none of that meant anything. The absolute facts they had about the murder that he committed, he wouldn't see it. I mean, this guy was serious. Another idol I had was Evel Knievel. And then later when I bought the documentary from the History Channel on Evel Knievel, I found out that was another nut. I mean, I mean, he was, and he used to, you know, promote, he would stand up there and say, children should not, you know, youth should not be on drugs. Don't ever do drugs. And yet, his own personal life, he was, you know, seriously into alcohol, infidelity, broken relationship. You know, and it just, like I said, it sort of takes all the steam out of this concept of worshiping a person. Favorite singers. You know, do you know what they're singing about, favorite singers? Find out the words to the song. Find out who they are. Find out what they stand for. Someone said, I read this off the internet, Michael Jackson was the perfect example of everything that is flat out wrong with family life today. This is from, I think it's Church of God International. Sexual deviance, child abuse, divorce, drug addiction, anorexic, self-promotion, gross materialism, astronomical debt, reclusiveness, molestation charges, obsession with looks, self-mutilation, among other forms of behavior. It's pretty powerful. When we set up a person as an idol, it blinds our eyes to their obvious sins and dysfunctional lifestyle. And you know, you ever wonder why do we as a nation glorify that which is most dysfunctional? It's like we love it. I got a clip on television of this show called Big Brother. I have never seen so many dysfunctional nitwits in all my life. I thought, you know, you can actually get this in real life. You don't have to watch it through entertainment. You can just hang out with some friends and get all that stuff, you know, if that's what you want, you know. And I think this is a form of entertainment for people. It's amazing. What is it in our human nature, makeup, that makes us want to adore celebrities whom we don't even know personally? What's the danger of making a person an idol? I think of Adolf Hitler. That's one of the dangers of it right there. You empower people. So, why should we never have an idol? Here's the bottom line. Because man will always let you down. People will always let you. Human relationships can let you down. God will never let you down. You shall have no other gods before me. And in closing here, it's something that I think is critical for us to understand. If you admire another person for anything, whether it's acting, songwriting, dancing, preaching, whatever it is, if you have admiration for another person for anything, without knowing anything about the character of that person, you can be guilty of idol worship.